As the exclusive sponsor of Grant and Danny, the law firm Condori and Murad will guide you and your family in the right direction and help you draft a will, set up a revocable trust, or create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. You'll get a great discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Looking forward to breaking down three burning training camp questions out of Ashburn after yet another workout today at 4:30. All of our camp coverage on the Fan is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenry'sWindows.com, your clear home improvement choices. I welcome you back into Grant and Danny. Danny is out on vacation today. I'm going to peel back the curtain a little bit. We give you five shows a week. We give you 4+ hours every single day, unless the Nats play. I think we put together shows where about 95% of the time Danny and I are excited about the topic we're going to be discussing. There are times where if there's an A topic that everybody wants to hear about and we're spinning the hits, maybe by the third, fourth, fifth time that week we're getting into something, you don't have the same amount of passion for it, but there's no business like show business, right? I got a topic right now that I am fired up about. When Darius walked into the studio today, before he had sat his little tuchus in that little seat over there, I said, "Hey, D, your boy's got a topic he likes today."
Well, you're forgetting the part where you first told me that Wally was at training camp.
You had to tell me
that first.
Well, you needed to understand that Wally was at training camp. And you're like, "But what about Jaden?" And I said, "Shh, Wally was there." People get obsessed with talking about Wale being at places. It really is amazing. And I get that he's like our celebrity fan. But if he's somewhere, everybody's got to know about it. I just went to the bathroom here, and it was weird. Like, some guy who I think is a security guard, I've never seen him before, just tackled me to the ground. I was like, "What is going on?" And he's like, "Did you know Wale was at training camp?" And I was like, "Yeah, I heard, man." He's like, "Sorry, dude." And he just walked away. It was the craziest thing. Anyway. While he was at training camp, I realize that I have a take that is not going to go over well. It's not going to age well. We'll look back at this in 10 years and people will cringe. Okay, when I say it out loud, there's immediately going to be a group of you that go, "Oh, you're better than that, GP." And I'm not going to disagree with you on that. But it's still my take and it's still how I feel. And I think we're all comfortable enough, we're all pals, we can have this conversation right here on 106.7 The Fan on the Grant and Danny radio program. But it's a sports take that I'm not really proud of. And I think we've all got some of these. I saw pictures come out last week at training camp of the Commanders wearing their Guardian caps. All right, they started wearing these last year. Teams all over the country are wearing Guardian caps. If you're not familiar, they're basically, they look like a white cushion or foam, almost like a rubberized safety piece of equipment that's put on top of your helmet that cushions the blow of helmet head-to-head contact at practice. Because what we've learned, if you watched the movie Concussion like I did, is that in addition to just the horrible collisions on game day and the big helmet-to-helmet contact, receivers, DBs going in the air, being tackled, whatever, one of the worst things that can happen to players as far as CTE, going all the way back to when you're playing peewee football, high school football, it's the small head-to-head contact at the line of scrimmage over and over again, O-lineman, D-lineman, coming together, smacking their helmets, right? And so one of the ways that the league is trying to educate players and teams about head trauma is practices are actually worse than games because you're on the practice field way more often. You're tapping helmets, even if you're not really colliding as violently, helmet to helmet way more often in practice than games. So let's do this thing where let's cushion that. Literally. And let's put this foam, what they call these Guardian caps, on top of your helmet. And so ideally, there's going to be a compression there. And The contact on your head's not going to be as damaging. It's very smart. It's very necessary. And it's exactly what should be happening in practices. Exactly what should be happening. But the Chargers out west and the Commanders here are two of the first teams that have now taken to this next level, where they have like a cover for the guardian cap that looks exactly like the helmet that you can wear and you're now allowed to wear in games. Now, nobody has come out and said they're going to wear this thing in games, but they're allowed to. And here's the rub. This is the part I'm not proud of. It looks terrible. It's just aesthetically horrendous. I hate seeing the guardian cap worn at practice. It looks somewhere between the big Brian Robinson made famous, like oversized hat that everybody wore. That's a big foam hat that was the all the rage for like a month or two a couple years ago. You go to like bighats.com. Or it's either that, or really what I see, especially Luke McCaffrey and some of these guys running down the field, is just the huge helmet Rick Moranis wore in Spaceballs when he was playing the Darth Vader character. And he had that giant helmet, right? It looks bad. Now, should it be worn in practices? Absolutely. Does it even make sense if a player wants to wear it during the game? Of course. These guys are putting their bodies on their line. They're trying to avoid head contact. They're trying to avoid ultimately having any kind of a CTE diagnosis posthumously or any kind of issues while living that comes with all of the head trauma. I understand all of the points that are being made. I'm telling you that the take that I'm not proud of is I don't want any players to wear those in real games because I just think it looks terrible. And that's not a good reason not to do what is clearly probably the right thing. But it's going to happen inevitably. I mean, TJ Oshie, to his credit, and I give him credit, I guess it just wasn't, you know, as much an inconvenience to me visually, but he started to wear this like neck roll thing that nobody wears in hockey and a couple of other adjustments as he's had concussion issues and different back problems. And he's the kind of guy, he's got a family of four and a beautiful wife, and he's got aspirations of the things he wants to do after his career, where he was really prioritizing and thinking about, how do I make sure that I'm able to live a long, healthy life with my family? As he should be thinking. Again, I'm on that side. I get it. I'm just telling you that wearing this big, goofy foam top of your helmet in the game is going to look awful. And it's just going to be a bit of a turnoff if we get to a point where there's 22 guys wearing those things in 10 years. It's just going to be terrible. My sports take that I'm not proud of. I will be mad when ground is broken and a player goes guardian cap in game. But this is the topic that I'm excited about. You're welcome into the trust tree here. We're all in this thing together. What is your sports take that you're not proud of? 800-636-1067 is the number, 800-636-1067. I'm going to give you another one, and I'm going to localize this. I know why the Washington Commanders are not the Redskins anymore. Go back, pull the audio. I was for changing the name. I didn't parade around demanding that they did. I wasn't, you know, some columnist who's fighting the good fight and refusing to call them by their name and saying it's a, you know, crime that their name was what it was. But I said, yeah, it's probably the right thing to do. And I still feel that way. I understand why they changed the name. I think changing the name was inevitable and no time like the present. That said, hopefully you heard the first part. I miss the old name and I miss the old logo more than I thought I would. Maybe it's because Commanders isn't that good. Maybe it's because I just didn't quite know the damage that would be done to the thing that I loved. Less people care than ever before. Nobody's interested in Jaden Daniels for some reason as he's having a great training camp. People don't go to games to the same extent. The fan base has whittled down. The sports take that I am not proud of because I know in the moment it's probably not the side that I should be on. And in years from now, it's certainly not going to age well. I miss the old Redskins name and logo. I've got a bunch of others here. But I do want to throw out the number, 800-636-1067, to hear from you guys on the sports take that you are not proud of? Anthony is in Calvert on G&D. Anthony, what's good?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man.
Good. The sports take I'm not proud of is when there's a fight or there's a big hit that causes an injury or something to that effect. They always either pan the sidelines or change the subject or, you know, go to commercial because they're trying to make it more palatable for more audiences. But us old school guys, I want to see it.
And I hate that they always do that. You want to see that bad stuff.
Yeah, I want it. It's part of the game. I want to see it. I don't want to get it. I don't want the sanitized version. I don't want the kumbaya version. I want to see the blow up. I want to see the injury. I want to see the fight.
I like that a lot. I'll add to that, by the way. Show me the thing that the network's trying to avoid most of the time. Although I'm going to say I'm 50-50 on a serious, like an injury where a guy breaks something. Those are pretty gruesome and gross. But if you're talking about like two players getting into it, yeah, we got to see that. But the other thing is, if someone runs on the field, assuming they're clothed, I'm going to need you to put that on camera. Somebody runs out on the field and they're dashing around, I'm going to need you to show me that. Or if you're Kevin Harlan, to just call play-by-play of it. I think that's a good one. Here's another one. Sports take I'm not proud of. I 100% believe this. I'm dead serious about this. And yet I know I'm a jerk for it. I think the NFL should play a game every single day of the week that they're legally allowed to. We've got Monday Night Football, begrudgingly. For the NFLPA, we have Thursday Night Football. We, of course, have Sunday Night Football. And we have Saturday Night Football after college football. Legally, the NFL is not allowed to have Friday games during the high school football season. A sports take I'm not proud of, because I know that it does not pay the proper respect to player safety and health. I want a game on every single night during the week, sitting at my house. It's Tuesday, babe. We could go out because there's no game. Not anymore. There's a game. What night is it? Wednesday? There's a football game. Who plays tonight? Probably like always the Jaguars and the Bucks or something like that. But Wednesday night football. What sounds better than that? There should be a game every day of the week. Why am I not proud of it? I think it's pretty obvious. Players hate Thursday games. It's not fair to them. They played on Sunday. They're still sore. It wasn't until Tuesday that they could go back up the steps to sleep in their bed instead of having to sleep on the couch. They're getting battered and bruised for our entertainment, and I'm just asking for more and more and more. Not happy, not proud, but I do want a game every single day. I got some baseball ones I can give you as well. Let's include the fellas on the production, though. Ryan, we'll start with you. I tasked you with giving me a sports take that you are not proud to publicly admit. What do you got?
I've got two for you. We'll start in the NFL. Super Bowl wins do matter when it comes to evaluating quarterbacks and where they stand in the history of the game. You kind of look at it this way. We talked about it during the break. When was the last time that a bad quarterback won a Super Bowl? Well, let me actually rephrase that. When was the last time that a quarterback really performed poorly and then won a Super Bowl? Hasn't really happened as much. A quarterback has to elevate your team, and it shouldn't land on one guy, but when you kind of go down to it, it's a huge part of the equation to me. A quarterback means that much to an organization, and that is why I say that.
So that is the prevailing thought, I'd say, with the average football fan. Where does the "I feel bad about it" come from? Just because it's something that isn't welcome on this radio program?
That's basically it. But okay. Also, like, I think a lot of analytic people out there will probably say, well, that's not really true, but I just...
So it's you. There's a feeling for you of you don't want to be on the other side of, like, science and information. And it's one of these kind of, hey, this is where I'm going to go with my gut over all of your data.
Exactly, because I'm an analytical guy. Like, I like to think with math and science, whatever out there, I like to use it to help my information, whatever it is.
Sure.
But in this scenario, I'm a gut guy.
Yeah, I mean, again, like, I don't know that I need to really address this for anyone that's listened to this show very often. I think it's silly to ascribe a whole lot of value to Super Bowl wins for a quarterback in that, like, the example I'll give you was Tom Brady's last Super Bowl. He had a three-interception game, I think it was, against the Bucs on that playoff run. The Rams had like a really bad, gross fumble that allowed the Bucs to win that game. And if not for a bunch of things happening, an unbelievable catch by, I think it was Colin Johnson was playing last night, or defensive stands, or a fumble at this point forced by his defensive end, you don't win. So there's just so many dependent moments and lucky things that happen along the way. There's better data to ascribe performance individually. Like, I don't know, what'd you actually do when you threw the ball, and how did you throw the ball? But, okay, this is a take that you're saying you don't feel great about having, but that you are confident in.
Yes, and another one as well. Get rid of C-flaps in baseball. It's just not a good look. I understand. I saw the Giancarlo Stanton injury. I understand why people wear it, but it just looks bad, man. I don't know what it is about it, but every time someone steps up with a C-flap, and really you see that with the majority of players now, I just look at it and it just doesn't feel right.
So that goes along with the guardian cap.
Exactly.
It's like probably the right thing for a lot of guys to do, but visually as a consumer, it doesn't look great.
Exactly, yeah.
Now, for people that don't know, by the way, because I think there are some, the C-flap is not necessarily just your typical guard, but it's now the... Not a lot of guys do this, but certainly if you've been hit in the face or if you just have seen other people get hit in the face, you don't want to be that guy. It's the flap that covers your entire jaw, basically. There's a category here that I feel bad about. It sounds like you do as well, where we're not proud of the fact that we are not putting the safety of our favorite players first. We're prioritizing not only our entertainment, but the visual of how our entertainment looks over their well-being, I guess, potentially, which is the part of it. It's just, it's tough to admit that. But I think it's a thing, for sure. If you're just joining us on Grant and Danny, no Danny today, sports takes that we're not proud of. I'll give you a couple more really quick. You guys are going to hate this one. Oh, buddy, you're going to hate this one. Indoor baseball is outstanding and should be the norm in the summer. I'm not happy to admit that as a baseball guy. Grew up at Camden Yards in Baltimore. Go to Nats Park 30 times a year. Summer means hot. Summer means sweat. Being in the sun, it's gross, it's humid. It's potentially going to rain. There's tons of games inconvenienced by rain delays and rainouts, and you're sitting around for an hour. Are they going to play or are they not going to play? You spend a lot of money. And this is not even one of the markets where it's as bad as it can be outside. You know, in Texas or in Arizona or in the desert, you don't have a choice. You just got to have the option of being indoors. But I think indoor baseball is not only awesome, but it should be the norm in the summer months everywhere. Because even if it's a pleasant enough 90-degree day at Yankee Stadium in New York for a Sunday afternoon game when you're putting on sunscreen and getting pummeled by the sun, you know what's better than that? 72 degrees in the air conditioning and comfort. I'm not proud of it, but it's a take that I believe in. What's yours? Grant and Danny without Danny on the Fan.
Downy, rinse and refresh. Break up with stinky clothes.
Rinse it out.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of the stinks that just will never come out.
Oh, Downy in the rinse straight.
Every now and then I rinse it out. One wash and it delivers. One wash, it smells so clean.
Downy, rinse and refresh, it's a dream.
Downy, rinse and refresh removes 100% of odor in just one wash. Guaranteed.
G&D, no Danny today. You're locked into the Fan. Thank you for making the show part of your afternoon. We know you got options. Coming up top of the hour, the Beltway Blitz, 5 o'clock. Robert Mays of The Athletic, who's on an NFL camp tour, has already made his stop with the Commanders. We'll talk to him about that and the other teams he's visited. And at 6 o'clock, our buddy Logan Paulson on what he's seen from Jaden Daniels so far. Caught up with Logan on the sideline yesterday. He's been very impressed, so we'll dig a little deeper into what he's liked about Daniels. Speaking of camp, I was at practice and thought maybe up close and personal, the Guardian caps with the helmet cover that the Commanders are using, it looks like a helmet, would look better on site, and they didn't. They look terrible. I hate them. Now, they are worn for the correct reasons, and if I was a player, I would wear one, and I would advise every single player to wear one also. This is why my sports take that I'm not proud of is I'm going to be annoyed when someone wears one of these in a game because they've been cleared to do so, and someone will. I would even go as far as to say someone should. Like, it makes sense that someone will prioritize their health and well-being over their stylistic appeal, visually how they look. That's just a mature thing to do. But I'm immature, I suppose, because my sports take that I'm not proud of is, man, I don't want to see those things worn in games. There are others I've come up with and leveled with you on today in the trust tree. Among them, indoor baseball should be the norm in the summer everywhere. Put a roof on your stadium. Ballparks should have roofs. Let's play in air conditioning. It's hot, it's wet, it's raining. It's ruining my time. I miss the old Redskins name and logo. Doesn't mean they shouldn't have changed it. Doesn't mean I don't understand why they did. But the fan base has cratered, and it mattered a lot more to a lot of people staying with the team and remaining a fan than I even anticipated. And based on that and the fact that it was cool looking, I kind of miss it. Not proud of that, but I do. Darius, give me one before I hit the phone.
I got two, actually. I'm going to be quick on the first one here. The first one is baseball games should only be played at night. I think day games are stupid.
Wow.
Especially particularly in the summer when we have to be in miserable hot weather like we are here in D.C. all the time. I think day games stink. I think mid-evening games, like 4 o'clock starts, suck because the players don't get to hit the ball well. They can't see the ball well because of the shadows.
Why do you feel bad about the take? Is it just because...
Because I understand the fact that you have to have day games, especially in getaway situations at the end of a series. You can't have teams playing at, you know, into the 10 o'clock hour, knowing that they have to get on a flight to go to the next city.
Gotcha.
Stuff like that. So I understand that day games are a necessity.
You're taking away from sleep and travel and the health of the players, and you feel...
Right.
Same as the Guardian cap, essentially.
Like, sure.
I'm screwing over the players, but I don't like day games.
I don't like day games. Give me all night games.
I like it.
This one's a little bit on the wackier side. LeBron James. We all know he's probably the greatest player of our current era at the moment. So many championships, so many MVPs, so on and so forth. I would want nothing to do with LeBron James being on my favorite basketball team.
Current LeBron James, who's 100 years old, or LeBron at the peak of his powers? Not that there's a huge gap, because he's still amazing.
I would go LeBron post-Cleveland the first time on. I would want nothing to do with him. Had we drafted LeBron James and he was with us from day one, I think that's a different story. But the LeBron James that went to Miami and then went back to Cleveland and then went to Los Angeles, I would want nothing to do with any of the shenanigans where he's coming in, the coach is never good enough for him, the players around him are never good enough for him, he doesn't have time to develop young players around him. He wants older, washed-up veterans and guys who are on their last legs trying to hop on a train to get a championship with them. You're not building a program for the future. You're just going for it all right now. More often than not, it doesn't work out. I'd want nothing to do with LeBron James being on my favorite team.
And presumably the reason that you feel bad about that take is... I'm a Wizards fan, and I'm saying no to the greatest player of his era.
That would be correct.
And probably the second greatest player of all time.
That's exactly correct of why it's ridiculous take.
I think
I'd
those
want
are
nothing
good ones.
To do with it. Yeah.
I think that sets the table well. These are sports takes you're not proud of, but something that you actually believe. Let's go to Jeremiah in Fairfax on G&D. What's up, Jeremiah?
How are y'all doing? Thank you for taking my call. So the sports take I'm not proud of is that no matter what Patrick Mahomes does with the rest of his career, he will never be better than Tom Brady. And there's two reasons I feel bad about that. One is because that's ignoring the fact that, you know, not that this will happen, but he could just win 10 Super Bowls in a row, and that would still be pretty hard to defend to say he's not as good as Tom Brady. And then the other reason I kind of feel bad about that is I am a Boston sports fan, so there's always that aspect to it. But I don't know. They played two or three times in the playoffs. Mahomes never beat him. I also feel like there is an unbiased argument you could present here. But I don't know. I don't know. That's just what I'm not proud of. But thank you so much for taking my call.
They were swimming, right? One against one. One was in lane five and one was in lane six. Oh, wait. They were playing football. So Mahomes not beating Brady isn't a real thing because they weren't competing head-to-head against one another. I like that take, and you admitted, because I was actually going to follow up and ask the caller. I was going to say, so wait a second, Jeremiah, where does the take come from? Like, why can't Mahomes surpass Brady? He's been better to this point of his career than Brady was, and it's not that close, but he admitted that he's a Boston sports fan. So, again, this doesn't have to be overly logical. I'm telling you that even though I was cool with the name and the logo change and thought it was the right thing to do, I missed the old thing. My mom and me watching games when I'm four every year at Christmas, getting a bunch of stuff with that logo on it, that's my entire childhood. Those are feelings. Those are things that I can't really tell to go away. I'm telling you that I know that if I played, I'd wear the Guardian cap in practices. And I'm sure somebody's wife is telling them, I want you to wear that in a game. And the wife is probably right. But God, it looks terrible. I mean, it's just embarrassing. Like, it is the kind of thing that when we're young and we make fun of things and we're mean and we bully people, hopefully, you know, you're on not the mean end doing that, but it certainly happened when we were kids back in the day. Like, you wore that at a football practice, you're getting joned on. You're like the kid that showed up at basketball tryouts in jeans or something. And hopefully we've advanced past making fun of appearance, but I can't help myself when I see the Guardian cap. You got to throw up in your mouth just a little bit. That or picture Rick Moranis in Spaceballs. What's up, Scott? How are you?
Good, man. Love the show. Great show. I've always been a fan. I've loved this show since before you changed the name. Back when you were calling it Green and Deany from the Fian, that was my favorite show. But here's two takes. They're kind of similar in a way. One, bullfighting. Love bullfighting. It's not going to be around very long. It probably shouldn't be around very long. It's the most dramatic sport you'll ever see. It's a fight to the death. We should probably get rid of it, but until they do, I'm going to be watching it. And for a somewhat similar but reason, it's hockey fights. We're going to lose hockey fights probably in our lifetime.
Yeah.
Great, great drama. Amazing thing to watch. Probably terrible for, you know, my soul to be watching it and loving it, but I love them.
This is an outstanding one, Scott. The hockey fight. This is actually maybe should have been my first answer. It's up there with Guardian caps, okay? Has anyone looked up or read up on the history of the enforcer in the National Hockey League? It is, I mean, it's brutal what these guys go through, a lot of them in their older years, with clear CTE-related issues. Suicide rate for enforcers is way higher than it is other players. The amount of transgressions and problems some of these guys have. There was a story written about a fighter for the Capitals who was a big, scrappy, goon-type player named Stephen Pete, who I loved. I don't remember if it was in the Post or where I read it, but it was a tragic piece. Talked about him and his father and so many others that tried to help him. But there is irrefutable evidence that if you're a hockey fighter and that's kind of your job, and there's way less fighting in the game than there used to be, and it's not, the great thing is, it's not like man to a man. Like, if you got into a lot of fights, this is what becomes of you. Because Alan May probably had as many penalty minutes and fights as anybody. He's very sharp and just a big teddy bear, and I worked with him over at Monumental. But there are a lot of guys who have these terrible, terrible stretches in their later life, and that was their role. And you just can't tell me that whether it's this gloveless fight that you're doing, punching each other in the head, or even boxers and what happens as they get older. God knows what's going to happen. UFC is young enough, I guess. But yeah, there is something to be said. I'll just keep it to hockey fights specifically because it's such a romantic, important, dignified, frankly, part of hockey. There's a respect to it. There's this reverence, a stick tap love you have for a player who stands up for a teammate. But man, oh man, the information's right there staring at us. And yet I'm there clapping like a seal when Tom Wilson drops the gloves and beats some dude to a pulp. And the harder he goes to the ice and the more blood that's coming out of his face, the louder the crowd is. And I'm one of the geese standing there doing it. I don't feel good about that. And you've kind of turned a mirror on me right now, and I feel even worse about it. But I do like a hockey fight. Let's go to Hyman Manassas on Grant and Danny. What's a sports take you're not proud of?
Hey, JP, what's going on, man?
How are you?
JP, what's going on? Everything good?
Hey,
I have two of them. First of all, baseball All-Star games, the 32 teams should have been represented. Come on. It's not a medal for participation trophy or anything like that. It has to be the best players. I understand the home team should get it, to be represented, but not all teams have to be represented in All-Star baseball games. The second one is going to be when it comes to the MVP in any sports, postseasons have to be considered. It cannot be a regular season kind of trophy. I understand if the guy had an unbelievable season, he might win it anyway, but I like what happened with the NHL.
But why, let me ask you this, Jaime. Why do you feel bad about that? I think that actually makes some sense, whether we do it or not, whether people agree or not. You know, it's a take. But there, I don't think there's anything to feel bad about there. What's the drawback to that take?
No. I understand. If you had a great regular season and you're still the best player in the league, you should get it. But who's the best player in the NHL, in the NFL? Pat Mahomes, okay? Who's the best in the NHL? McDavid had an unbelievable postseason. No doubt who's the best player in the NHL is. So why, I understand, you can have a great regular season, don't have a good postseason, and win it anyway, but it has to be, you have to put a little pound, a little force, and a little take on the postseason performance.
Appreciate you, buddy. Thank you, Jaime. I like, you know, you're going really with the hardware and awards. Many of mine feel like they're more about the prioritization of enjoyment over safety, which I don't know what that says about me. Like, the net in baseball that goes down the line at baseball games. I was talking to Mullins about this. Mullins suggested this, and I actually kind of agree with it. It takes away from the experience a little bit. It cuts down on interactions with the players or being able to have a ball tossed up your way. But it saves a lot of stitches and blood, and it makes the game a lot safer. There's too many people on their phones talking. Heck, even if you're paying attention and a ball's screaming at you at 115, I mean, if you're not smart enough to turn around and just put your butt at it, and let it hit you right in your butt, then you could probably get hurt by a screamer at a baseball game.
Here's my big butt.
The Nets down the line have kind of taken away from the experience. Mike and Frederick, the sports take that you don't feel great about, you're not proud of.
Hey, Grant, how's it going?
Good.
Dude, the sports take I'm not proud of is I actually look forward to, I can't really say I enjoy, but I look forward to the Commanders when they're on primetime football. And I'll explain, because I really enjoy the national media attention for some reason. It's definitely like a guilty pleasure type thing. Like I like seeing like Kay Adams go take Sam Howell to a steakhouse and watch him try steak for the first time. And it's just like, it's like a cheap segment, but I don't know. I get enjoyment out of it. It's like our team, like our guys, finally get the shine. And I know I'm in for devastation. I mean, I actually went to the game when they got destroyed by the Bears last year, but I know what I'm in for, but I love the buildup. I have friends and family that don't normally watch, like texting me like, oh, Commander's on tonight, things like that. It feels different, even though I know it's ultimately.
Misery loves company, Mike, because I'm right there with you. I enjoy it. The extra coverage. It's not always positive, but pregame it is. We get the feature. I like your idea of the steakhouse. That's a great bit. I don't know if that actually happened with Kay Adams and Sam Howell, but it's exactly what would happen, to be honest, if games were on FanDuel, for sure, if they had their own network. But, yeah, I also am in. Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football, it also means I get to watch more Red Zone and just enjoy other games during the weekend. So sign me up for primetime games every week. I'm the anti-Danny on this. And I get why you feel bad about it, because you know that they're not only going to lose very likely, but generally in primetime in humiliating fashion. That's not something you're proud of, but it's a take. That is the question on Grant and Danny. Your sports take you're not proud of will also win off the field before the end of the hour on G&D. Grant and Danny welcoming you back on 106.7 The Fan. All kinds of Olympic action today. You'll be able to enjoy in primetime tonight, including Team USA setting a new world record in the 4x400-meter mixed relay. Won't spoil any more than that, but should be a quality evening of Olympic viewing on a Friday night for those of you into that kind of thing. We will win off the field before the end of this segment. I do want to put a bow on our conversation here. I was fired up about. I came to the realization that even after being at practice yesterday and seeing the Guardian caps now covered with, I don't even know what they're calling it. It's like a cloth helmet covering that allows you to wear these in game because it looks exactly like your helmet. And they don't look any better. In fact, they're terrible on the eyes. And I just came to the realization there's no sugarcoating this. It's not the right take to have probably, but I don't want players wearing those in actual games, even though it's good for their health and they should, because it's less fun for me to see them look so goofy. And it kind of gave birth to this topic, which is the sports take that you are not proud of. Chris is in Hyattsville on G&D. What's up, Chris?
Grant, listening to you, I feel like you missed your calling. You should have been a Roman emperor because you enjoy people fight to the death, basically. You like violence. But I'm happy fights. That you can admit that on air.
Yeah, we're not dying on the ice, ideally. But, a hockey fight.
No, but you
love
your pound of flesh. Even, yeah. So my take, my boomer take, and my son has told me this numerous times, I hate drip in baseball. Are you familiar with drip, what drip is all about?
A bit like the bold fashion statements of the young player?
Like, yeah, having, you know, bright neon colors that have no resemblance to your uniform whatsoever, having the oven mitt in your pocket, just so many different pieces of unnecessary garb. It drives me crazy. And I know the kids like it. If it makes them enjoy baseball better, I guess so be it. But I can't stand it. The other day we were watching a video, and this kid hits a home run, and as he's crossing second base, he starts taking off his batting gloves and his helmet. It's out of control.
So I will say this. That doesn't just work for this topic, which is a win. It does. It also works for the what's your oldest man thing that you'll say out loud on the radio today. Because, my God, do you sound 400 years old, Chris. I get where you're coming from. I don't agree with you. I think personality is really good. I like that Jazz Chisholm is cut from his own cloth, or, you know, that dudes are going to wear a bunch of gear, you know, to avoid getting hit by a pitch that maybe they don't need, and they take a long time to take it off when they get down to first. I got no problem with, like, C.J. Abrams is a great example. He wears a alien chain while he plays. I think that's cool. You're watching on TV, you see him with the alien chain, and it gives you a little window into his personality, I think. But yeah, that's a 300-year-old man take, and I get why you're not proud of it, because you'd like to be able to just spend some time in a room with young people, but you can't. Let's go to John in Virginia. What's up, John? John, are you there?
I am. Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's your take that you're not proud of?
Well, first, let me give you a little opinion on the Guardian helmets. Yeah, they're goofy as all hell. But I had a buddy who played here for four, Buffalo for three, and sometimes when I talk to him, he's just not all there. If he had that helmet, maybe he'd be all there. He'd still probably only would have played seven, but whatever. My take, you're going to love this for the radio. Everyone loves to talk about interceptions for the quarterback, but how many times have you seen an interception that's the receiver's fault? The quarterback's job is to get the ball there. The receiver's job is to catch the ball, but he tips the ball. We need a new stat for receivers called TPI, tip pass interception. That doesn't get called on your quarterback. Do you realize how much better some of these guys would be? Think about sexy Rex Grossman. Rex would have been way better by the numbers.
Yeah.
You look back and see his TPI.
Now, first of all, I'm 1,000% on board with this. Interceptions should not be held against quarterbacks who throw an accurate pass. There's a gray area here that's difficult, but I think we would just say if it was ruled a drop, which is different than did it touch the hands of the receiver by definition, but if it was a ball that should have been caught, almost like ruling an error in baseball, does the average receiver make that catch? and then it ends up intercepted, don't put it on the QB's ledger. Totally agree. I don't know if it would have helped Rex Grossman as much as you think, because most of those interceptions were earned by Sexy Rexy. But there are some guys out there that would have a few fewer picks. There's no doubt about that. I actually really, really like that. Last one here. Let's go to Joe in Annapolis on G&D. What's up, Joe? And he dropped immediately. Joe, you will get nothing, and you will like it. That means Ben gets the final say. Ben, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up?
Hey, Grant. Love the show. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Hearing your hockey fights one made me change mine. So the first one, I'd say video replay. I think we should get rid of it. It's good for nobody. Blown calls, missed calls, makeup calls, they're all part of the game. And I feel bad about it because my team has definitely been the beneficiary of some of those calls. And, you know, when it goes my way, I love it. But, you know, when it doesn't and they have to, like, call back a goal or, you know, it was offsides or something, it just rips my heart out.
Well, Ben, I appreciate your call. Could not disagree with you more, but that's not what this segment's about. I will tell you that you should feel bad about it because it's a terrible idea to get rid of instant replay because we get more calls right, man. Don't you want more calls right? I thought you were going to say I feel bad about it because obviously we should want calls to be correct, and I'm okay with them being wrong. But you're not alone. There are people, every now and then when we use instant replay and we still can't get the call right, and it's kind of absurd in the fact that why are we even doing this if we have the ability to get them right and these refs won't overturn them anyway, I think people want to throw the baby out with the bathwater and say, let's get rid of it altogether. So I don't think you're alone, but it is the perfect answer to this discussion, which is the sports take that you might whisper around friends, but deep down you feel pretty strongly about. Let's blitz around the Beltway. Teams you care the most about next on Grant and Danny. Grant and Danny welcoming you back on 106.7 The Fan. All kinds of Olympic action today you'll be able to enjoy in primetime tonight, including Team USA setting a new world record in the 4x400-meter mixed relay. Won't spoil any more than that, but should be a quality evening of Olympic viewing on a Friday night for those of you into that kind of thing. We will win off the field before the end of this segment. I do want to put a bow on our conversation here. I was fired up about. I came to the realization that even after being at practice yesterday and seeing the Guardian caps now covered with, I don't even know what they're calling it. It's like a cloth helmet covering that allows you to wear these in game because it looks exactly like your helmet. And they don't look any better. In fact, they're terrible on the eyes. And I just came to the realization there's no sugarcoating this. It's not the right take to have probably, but I don't want players wearing those in actual games, even though it's good for their health, and they should, because it's less fun for me to see them look so goofy. And it kind of gave birth to this topic, which is the sports take that you are not proud of. Chris is in Hyattsville on G&D. What's up, Chris?
Grant, listening to you, I feel like you missed your calling. You should have been a Roman emperor, because you enjoy people fight to the death, basically. You like violence. But I'm happy fights. That you can admit that on air.
Yeah, we're not dying on the ice, ideally. But, yeah, mm-hmm. A hockey fight.
No, but you love your pound of flesh. So my boomer take, and my son has told me this numerous times, I hate drip in baseball. Are you familiar with drip, what drip is all about?
A bit like the bold fashion statements of the young player.
Like, yeah, having, you know, bright neon colors that have no resemblance to your uniform whatsoever, having the oven mitt in your pocket, just so many different pieces of unnecessary garb. It drives me crazy. And I know the kids like it. If it makes them enjoy baseball better, I guess so be it. But I can't stand it. The other day we were watching a video and this kid hits a home run. And as he's crossing second base, he starts taking off his batting gloves and his helmet. It's out of control.
So I will say this. That doesn't just work for this topic, which is a win. It does. It also works for the what's your oldest man thing that you'll say out loud on the radio today. Because, my God, do you sound 400 years old, Chris. I get where you're coming from. I don't agree with you. I think personality is really good. I like that Jazz Chisholm is cut from his own cloth or you know, that dudes are going to wear a bunch of gear, you know, to avoid getting hit by a pitch that maybe they don't need, and they take a long time to take it off when they get down to first. I got no problem with, like, C.J. Abrams is a great example. He wears a alien chain while he plays. I think that's cool. You're watching on TV, you see him with the alien chain, and it gives you a little window into his personality, I think. But, yeah, that's a 300-year-old man take, and I get why you're not proud of it, because you'd like to be able to just spend some time in a room with young people, but you can't. Let's go to John in Virginia. What's up, John? John, are you there?
I am. Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's your take that you're not proud of?
Well, first, let me give you a little opinion on the Guardian helmets. Yeah, they're goofy as all hell. But I had a buddy who played here for four, Buffalo for three, and sometimes when I talk to him, he's just not all there. If he had that helmet, maybe he'd be all there. He'd still probably only would have played seven, but whatever. My take, you're going to love this for the radio. Everyone loves to talk about interceptions for the quarterback, but how many times have you seen an interception that's the receiver's fault? The quarterback's job is to get the ball there. The receiver's job is to catch the ball, but he tips the ball. We need a new stat for receivers called TPI, tip pass interception. That doesn't get called on your quarterback. Do you realize how much better some of these guys would be? Think about sexy Rex Grossman. Rex would have been way better by the numbers.
If you
look back and see his TPI.
Now, first of all, I'm 1,000% on board with this. Interceptions should not be held against quarterbacks who throw an accurate pass. There's a gray area here that's difficult, but I think we would just say if it was ruled a drop, which is different than did it touch the hands of the receiver by definition. But if it was a ball that should have been caught, almost like ruling an error in baseball, does the average receiver make that catch? And then it ends up intercepted, don't put it on the QB's ledger. Totally agree. I don't know if it would have helped Rex Grossman as much as you think, because most of those interceptions were earned by Sexy Rexy. But there are some guys out there that would have a few fewer picks. There's no doubt about that. I actually really, really like that. Last one here. Let's go to Joe in Annapolis on G&D. What's up, Joe? And he dropped immediately. Joe, you will get nothing, and you will like it. That means Ben gets the final say. Ben, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up?
Hey, Grant. Love the show. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Hearing your hockey fights one made me change mine. So the first one, I'd say video replay. I think we should get rid of it. It's good for nobody. Blown calls, missed calls, makeup calls. They're all part of the game, and I feel bad about it because my team has definitely been the beneficiary of some of those calls. And, you know, when it goes my way, I love it. But, you know, when it doesn't and they have to, like, call back a goal or, you know, it was offsides or something, it just rips my heart out.
Well, Ben, I appreciate your call. Could not disagree with you more, but that's not what this segment's about. I will tell you that you should feel bad about it because it's a terrible idea to get rid of instant replay because we get more calls right, man. Don't you want more calls right? I thought you were going to say I feel bad about it because obviously we should want calls to be correct and I'm okay with them being wrong. But you're not alone. There are people every now and then when we use instant replay and we still can't get the call right and it's kind of absurd in the fact that why are we even doing this if we have the ability to get them right and these refs won't overturn them anyway. I think people want to throw the baby out with the bathwater and say, let's get rid of it altogether. So I don't think you're alone, but it is the perfect answer to this discussion, which is the sports take that you might whisper around friends, but deep down you feel pretty strongly about. Let's blitz around the Beltway. Teams you care the most about next on Grant and Danny.